So reading from Bhajan Rahasyam, Shastiyam Sadhan, ingredients of ras. Because, of course, we hear about bhakti ras. We hear this word ras from the time we join ISKCON. Because one of the first books we read, even before we join, is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Bhakti Ras Amrit. The ocean of bhakti ras. So we hear the word ras and Madhurya Ras, we're very familiar with this word. So actually, tasting of Ras begins at the level of Bhava. Of course, there's a term called Bhakti Abhas or Ras Abhas. That's another thing, but the Acharyas explain that even small amounts of Bhakti, it's kind of an Abhas, it's like a semblance. The word Abhas means a semblance of ras that comes even in the beginning of devotional practices, but it's not bhakti ras in the true definition of the term, because bhakti ras is produced from the combination of different bhavas. Bhavas are produce this ras, this mellow, this flavor, this taste when they combine. This is how it's described. So what we experience in the beginning is just a certain kind of thrill or taste that comes from serving Krishna and surrendering. In the introduction of Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says that the ras is that element which drives even a man or drives a human being on in their pursuit of material pleasure. Persons fight because they like the vira ras. Two people fight. Some people like to fight. They get a ras from that. There's some ras in fighting. And that's also one of the gona rasas, fighting, chivalry or vira ras. And a person works very hard. The analogy Prabhupada uses, a person works very hard to maintain his family. Man works very hard in the job to produce income to maintain his family. Because when he comes home and meets his wife and plays with his children, then he gets some ras from that, some parental ras or whatever he calls it, some happiness. And the taste of that ras drives him on. It drives him on and on in his pursuit of material pleasure and developing and living out his material relationships. There's a ras. I have a brother, and I like my brother, and we do so many things together. Why do we stay together, and why do we play together? Because something's happening. When we get together, something happens. We taste something. We experience something. Some pleasure. Something comes into mind. And that's called prakrita, or jada. It's called jada ras. Prakrita ras, or jada ras. Jada ras means from this material energy. It's just some material thing. So it's really, the word ras maybe is used, maybe you could say pleasure or taste. It's not really ras in the strictest definition of the term, in terms of theology. So in our case, we're devotees, or trying to be devotees, and we're also experiencing a reflection of ras, and that's driving us on. Or Prabhupada would often cite the example of Giriraj. He was a brahmachari then, now he's sannyas. But Prabhupada say, see this boy, see this young boy? His father offered him $1 million to leave Krishna consciousness. But he refused. He said, you can offer me $1 billion. I'll never leave. So what is it that's greater than money? And what is it that gives more pleasure than money can buy or money can arrange or provide? And that pleasure was known to Giriraj, and it's known to the devotees. That's a pleasure that they were deriving from associating with devotees and serving Krishna. And of course, being with Prabhupada also had a lot to do with it, I'm sure. So, but it's all about people, but these people are not material people. Guru is a spiritual person, and relationship with Guru is producing some spiritual chemistry. And that feeling which we derive is not pure spiritual experience, because our perceiving elements and our experiencing parts of our consciousness are not really purified to the extent to experience spiritual ras or bhakti ras. But we're still, it's some glimmer, it's some something. And everyone situated in devotional service has their own special unique experiences which they cherish as special gifts of the Lord and of the devotees, and they're sufficient for them to stay where they are and continue going forward. This is what we call the mercy of the Lord. It's called the mercy of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, devotional progress, devotional advancement. But it's all based on a foundation of taste. We're doing something because we like it. Taste, I like it. We're practicing devotion because we like it. We're not being paid. We're not being coerced. We're not being forced. It's not our duty. We don't owe anyone a favor. Prabhupada always said that devotional service is voluntary. It's not conscription. It's not the army. It's not forced conscription. You like it, you stay. You don't like it, you go. It's like parakeha. There's no law binding Radha and Krishna. There's no marital contract. If Radharani wants to be with Krishna, then she's with Krishna. If Krishna wants to be with Radha, he's with Radharani. It goes by their desire, not by law. So by our desire, we're serving Krishna, not by law. By our desire, we're associating with devotees. And we're deriving something from that. And what that is explained. It is a reflection. And when we come to the level of bhava, then we actually taste and experience the real thing, the true experience of ras, and the true experience of bhakti ras. So therefore, what are the ingredients of bhakti ras? These are addressed in this book also. There are five ingredients of ras. So this we can look forward to. We hear about it, and we can also see it, these elements working and expressing themselves in the context of pastimes. When we read the pastimes of the Lord, we can see the elements, the different elements of ras will present themselves in the course of the pastime. Then when we're educated, when we're actually educated in rasa theology, or what's this called, rasa tattva, then we can see, oh, the flute, oh, this is udipan, this is vibhav coming into play here, and this is the alamban, this is the ashraya. And then now it says that the gopis were, when they heard Krishna telling them to go home and that they shouldn't come out in the forest, and they looked down and they bit their lip and they started scratching the ground with their nail, then you can say, oh, these are anubhavs of their sthayi bhava, their madhurya rasa is being disturbed, and they're expressing that disturbance in this way. And these are all mentioned in shastras. Oh, these are the symptoms of anubhav. Oh, look, the gopis are displaying this symptom. Oh, this is anubhav. And this way, deeper understanding of our experience of reading, and then as we become purified, then we identify with the resonance in a pure way, in a qualified way. We identify with the gopis, brajagopis, in a qualified way, in a purified way. Then some of these feelings we can experience in a reflected way. So then, because that's what bhava is about. Bhava bhakti will bring some experiences of bhava. Nayanam galardashudarya, varanam gadgiravriyagira. This is the verse under discussion, shastayam sarana. So all these things will mix together to bring us to this level of bhava. Our bhakti gyan will increase, our purity of devotion will increase, our perception, our receptibility to all these feelings of the parishads will increase, and that's what descend into our heart, and we'll experience these things. So the first ingredient is called stahibhav. There's stahibhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvikbhav, vyabhacharibhav. So these are five. Stahibhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvikbhav, vyabhacharibhav is sometimes called sanchari. These are best understood in Krishna's pastimes. The stahibhav, it's like stan, lila stan, fixed place. This is the ras lila stali, stan. It's a fixed place, fixed location. Yamuna Pulin, Dir Shamir, Govinda Stali, Gopishwar. And this area is where Krishna has his rasa dance. It's a fixed place. Balaram has at least one famous rasa dance. He has in the banks of the Yamuna at Ramgat. It's near the Chirgat, the original Chirgat. So Stahibhav is one's dormant spiritual sentiment through which one desires to serve Krishna in his eternal lila. It's one's dominant spiritual sentiment, which is primary. It is the basis of one's spiritual identity. that has appeared through the sadhana of Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Mantra Dhyan. I mean, that is part of it. In Bhav, one sees Krishna's Leela through one's Stayi Bhav, identifying with a particular sentiment expressed in one of Krishna's eternal associates who has become one's role model. So this is, in other words, you enter, it's kind of like you put on, if you go to a movie, then to see a 3D movie, you have to put on 3D glasses. Then you sit in the movie, then you put on the glasses, then you can see what's going on the screen, 3D movie screen. So in the same way, at the level of Bhav, we enter the Leela Pravesh, or we enter the Leela through the Bhav of those that we're anugatya to, or those who are following. So that's, we have realized our own Stayi Bhav, permanent devotional mellow or feeling of love or intimacy towards the love in our own heart, which has been revealed or been awarded, different schools of thought on this. But that becomes however one attains it, that becomes one Stayi Bhav, permanent devotional mellow. It's not that you can have different Stayi Bhavs. Oh, now today I'm in Vatsalya Bhav, tomorrow in Dasya Bhav. These are, Stayi means fixed, unchangeable. And different moods play there, but your primary mood is that. Like Balaram is a sukha, he's Krishna's older brother. So because this is also described in Ujjala Nilamani, that he's primarily, that's his main bhav, is he's a brother, he's brotherly love, friendly love, his brother, intimate friend. But then it's mixed. It's also a little bit of Vatsalya mixed in there. Because he's older, then he worries about Krishna. He protects Krishna. And Mother Yashoda says, you're his older brother. Watch out for your little brother. So that watching out, that palana aspect, protecting aspect, that's one attribute of Vatsalya Bhav. So then she says to Balaram, make sure your little brother eats something. Because your little brother always runs around all the time. He gets so wrapped up in his play, he forgets to eat and drink. So make sure he eats and drink. So nourishment. Nourishment is another aspect. Feeding, nourishing, protecting. These are all aspects. Protection, feeding, nourishment. These are all aspects of Vatsalya, but they're mixed in Balaram's Sakya Bhav. So it's Sakya and Vatsalya. But that is the basis, the overall orientation or viewpoint, the way he loves the Lord, the way he sees his brother as a friend. Just like the gopis are in Madhurya Ras, so they have conjugal love. They offer their very bodies for the pleasure of Krishna, but their love has all the rasas mixed in. They nourish the Lord, they feed the Lord, they want to protect the Lord, and they feel themselves superior to the Lord, and they defeat the Lord in play, just like the coward boys, and then they have a mood of humbly serving the Lord, massaging his feet and dressing him and acting like servants. So all the rasas are there in the gopis also. But their primary mood is this, intimacy. So in Bhav, at the level of Bhav, one will see Krishna's Leela through one's Stayi Bhav by identifying with a particular sentiment, which means if we're in Madhurya Bhav, then we will identify with the Madhurya Bhakta in Krishna's Leela, Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, or Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri. Or we may have other sakhis or mantris that we're guided to identify with and mold our mind toward. Identifying with a particular sentiment expressed by one of Krishna's eternal associates, who is one's role model. Vibhavas, this is the second type of expression of bhava or division of bhava. This vibhavas, they arouse, stimulate, and intensify one's Stayi Bhav. The Stayi Bhav is, sometimes they compare it to an ocean. Ocean, it's very, there's no waves, it's just quiet. And then the Vibhav comes, it's something that stimulates it, maybe a gust of wind. Wind comes and suddenly there's some waves come on the water. Big wind comes or a storm comes. So Vibhavas, they arouse, stimulate, and intensify one's Stayi Bhav. There are two varieties of Vibhav. Alamban Vibhav and Udipan Vibhav. There are two Alamban Vibhavs. So then there's like some branches. Vibhav, then Alamban, then Alamban has two. There's the object of love, then the embodiment of love. In Krishna's Leela, the object of love, which means Prem Vishai, is Krishna. And the embodiment of that love, or Prem Ashray, is one of Krishna's eternal associates who relishes a particular sentiment, such as romantic love or Madhurya Prem. The second aspect is Udipan Vibhav. So the Udipan Vibhav are the personal qualities and attributes of the object of love. In other words, Krishna is the object of love, and Radharani is the Prem Ashray, the reservoir of love. So Udipan are different characteristics of Krishna, attributes of Krishna, his dress, his flute, the way he walks, the way he talks. These become stimulants. They stimulate the lover towards the beloved. So when Radharani sees Krishna's peacock feather, or she even sees a peacock sitting in a tamal tree, she sees that peacock feather and she thinks this is Krishna. And then she goes into a swoon, it awakens her sthayi bhava, madhurya prem, and she starts to think of Krishna. So these are the udipans, the stimulants in the environment, or coming directly, something is directly connected to Krishna, the sound of his flute, his clothes, his footprint, or his picture. The Chitrasakhi makes a painting of Krishna, then Radharani looks at it, and then she becomes excited or stimulated. One who already has love for something will experience things in relation to it as further stimulus for that love. So that's what the Udipan Vibhavas are. So Vibhava has two divisions, Alamban and Udipan. And Alamban has Vishai and Ashray, the object of love and the reservoir of love. That's Krishna and Radha, or Yashoda and Krishna, or Subal and Krishna. So in the case of Radha and Krishna, this Udipan, she has Madhurya Prem, she has conjugal love for Krishna. So she is the ashray that sheltered that love, and he is the object that she directs her love towards, Krishna, Vishai, object. Now, anything in relationship to Krishna that she sees or hears about, then as it says, that stimulates her love. Because Udipan means it rises, it makes it go up, increase. So she's just sitting in her room, and she's thinking of Krishna, and she's remembering him. And then Chitrasakhi comes in very fast. Oh, Radharani, look, I just made a painting of Krishna. I made a beautiful painting of Krishna as a boatman. Remember that day in Manasi Ganga? Remember that day when when the storm was coming and we had to cross Manasi Ganga and we couldn't find a boat anywhere? Then it was so foggy and we couldn't see. And then this boatman came. He had a red and brown checkered gumsha, and he had another gumsha around his head, and he looked so beautiful and swarthy, and it was dark color like Krishna, but it was had some dirt on him here and there, and his hair was all underneath his gumsha, and we didn't understand it was Krishna. We didn't see any vamshi anywhere, and there was no kostuba, everything was hidden, and he was playing games. Remember that day? So look, I made a painting of that. So then when Radharani sees that painting that Chitrasakhi did of Krishna standing very proudly, you know, on his boat, you know, with his hand extended to the gopis, yes, please come on my boat. Remember, she sees that. As soon as Radharani sees that painting that Chitra freshly painted, then she it stimulates. That pastime, that Krishna, that nonsense, that foolish boy. And then she may even swoon. Her ecstasy may be so much that this Udipan arises. Then after that, then Anubhav follows and Saptik Bhav, then she may faint. So this is Vibhav. It's called Vibhav. So first is Sthayi Bhav. It goes in some progression. So while Vibhavas stimulate one Sthayi Bhav, Anubhavas and Saptik Bhavas are responses to the stimulation. So these are Anubhavas are deliberate bodily movements, such as crying, smiling, and singing and dancing. And Saptik Bhavas are involuntary bodily movements, such as tears or fainting. The final ingredient of ras is vyavachari bhav. It's called sanchari, a transitory expression of love, such as anxiety, humility, or jubilation. So, these are all the aspects briefly told, and then we'll hear more about them tomorrow. And there's some discussion in this Shastayam Sadhana about these different aspects and different verses. So I've kind of presented the chapter like this, and taking the topics in a developing way, and then finding the supporting verses in Bhajan Rahasyam. So we'll continue that tomorrow. These set sounds a little technical, but Rupa Goswami is our teacher, and we're all enrolled in the school of devotion, and we're meant to get degrees. There are 4 degrees in this school that we're meant to attain. One is, because you've heard of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, so there's Vaidhi Bhakti degree, then there's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti degree, then there's Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti degree. That's 2 levels. Then there's graduate school Bhava Bhakti degree, BB degree. You have to get a BB, Bhava Bhakti. And then finally you go on for your PhD, but it's called PBD. The 4th degree is called Prima Bhakti degree. So this is called PBD, not PhD, that's for karmis. But for bhaktas, we want a PBD, Prima Bhakti degree. So this is this School of Bhakti awards 4 different degrees. And it's really a crying shame to only get a VBD, Vaidhi Bhakti degree. We don't want to remain just uninformed. So you want to get an RBD, a VBD, RBD, VBD, and PBD, right? RVD, Raganuga Bhakti degree, and then after we become graduate, we get a VBD, Bhava Bhakti degree, and then finally PBD. Then when you got PBD, then you can also open a school. You can open a school of devotion and give out degrees to everyone, and that will be most appreciated. We will be the first to enroll. And so it's like this. So you might say, oh, these are all these technical sattvic bhavs, this bad, just Hari Bol, and where's the prasadam? But okay, that's well and good, that's very fine, and that's also taught in the VBD department, and that's necessary, because without the VBD, you can't get the RBD. So you need a Hari Bol and lots of prasadam, and lots of dancing and chanting and book distribution. But we also need a lot of study and swadhyaya and tapa and everything, all required. And moreover, more than anything, we need the mercy of Guru. So we shouldn't neglect these topics, and even Krishnas Kaviraj himself says these topics should not be neglected by the devotees. They are difficult and very inconceivable in a lot of ways. But at least our efforts will be rewarded if we try to understand these topics. We'll be amazed how much revelation and insight that will be given to us by Swamini Radha and Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Because they love those that are trying to love them. And this is our whole endeavor. It's the effort to love God. The effort is what is needed, and enthusiasm behind the effort is rewarded more quickly than lackadaisical effort. So enthusiasm translates into hard work. Oftentimes they say that, someone was once interviewed about a book. He said, how did you write this book? He said, well, it's easy how I wrote this book, classic Nobel Prize book. He said it was 5% inspiration and 95% blood, sweat, and tears. If you can follow my English. So bhakti, perfection in bhakti is 5% mercy. 5% mercy and 95% hard work. So if we don't get the 5% mercy, we don't attain perfection. And if we don't do the 95% hard work, we don't get perfection. So 2 fingers are required to close the rope of pure bhakti. To bind Krishna with the rope of pure bhakti, 2 fingers are required. One is our effort and the other is Krishna's blessing, or Krishna's mercy. And that's what Damodar Leela shows, Yashoda Damodar. Karya and Kripa. Or Kriya, we can say Kriya and Kripa. Kriya means work, endeavor, action. And Kripa means mercy. So Bhajan Kriya, Sarasanga, Bhajan Kriya, Anartha Nivriti. So Bhajan Kriya will hopefully get Bhagavan Kripa. So we do Bhajan Kriya and we pray for Bhagavan Kripa. Yashoda did her kriya, she tried to tie up Krishna, her bhajan kriya, that was her bhajan, vatsalya bhajan. And then Krishna said, no, you won't. And he got bigger and bigger and bigger, or the ropes got smaller and smaller. Somehow she couldn't do it. And finally her devotion got so intense and her endeavor got so intense that Krishna gave his mercy. So tomorrow is a special day to pray for Kripa. Kripa's on sale tomorrow. And mothers are always very soft-hearted. So we pray to Mother Yashoda, oh, you're very soft-hearted. You got the mercy. Can you arrange that we get the mercy too? You got Krishna's mercy. You could tie him up. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to capture that little boy. But every time I go to capture him, he runs away. Hare Krishna.